So about, to give you some context, about 6 or 8 weeks ago, sometime in July, I was kind of having a hard time falling asleep, and I was like, okay, that's kind of, you know, whatever, it's kind of weird. And right before I went to sleep, the Lord came, like, the presence of the Lord, and was like, wake up, I have a word. And I was like, yes, Lord, I'm awake. And I had this picture of me standing here in front of you all and sharing this word. And it was like God was almost like, you know, have you ever heard like yell speaking from the Lord? It's not like audible. It's kind of like in your spirit, but it's like yelling. You know what I'm talking about? He was like, the Father's love is active. And it was like, he was like yelling it, like, yes, Lord, in the best way. The Father's love is active. And that was something that was really important for him, for you to know that his love is active and it's bold and it's ferocious and it's tenacious and it's kind of in your face in the best way. And that was what he told me to start this morning with. The Father's love is active, pursuing, intentional, consistent, and there, right there, never wavering, right? And that is the active love of the Father. And from there, it went a little bit into a different way than I anticipated. I was like, okay, yeah, let's talk about love. Let's do it. But actually, what he talked about was how to love God in return. I was like, oh, okay, cool. All right, we're going there. Let's do it. But before we get into that, I wanted to just share something that has been on my heart this last week to affirm you as a body and to affirm you as a family. The Father is very proud of you. And that's something that I feel that very personally as well, the way that you guys have stewarded the word of the Lord, the way that you steward his people, the way that you steward his missionaries as well. I am so blessed and amazed that this is what I get to call family and my home and the body that has sent me out. It is phenomenal. And being someone who works closely with young people being sent from churches, you guys as a body are rare and special, and that is phenomenal. And so to start off this morning with the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God, affirmation from the Father to you that you have done well. And so that was what I heard yesterday. Well done, good and faithful servants. Through your faithfulness and obedience, the nations are being reached. And I don't know if you noticed, like the Thompsons, you know, a few weeks ago, being able to minister in a youth camp in Madrid, or even me being able to work with students and with youth and with people who are longing to know Jesus, and with Jeremy in Australia, and all the places that you sent out students and people to go and reach the nations. That is a result of obedience and a result of faithfulness, and you've done very well. And so thank you from me personally, from the bottom of my heart, thank you for being faithful with the word of the Lord. It is incredibly impactful and going further than you would ever dream or know. And so that's how I would love to start this morning, is that he is so proud and enamored. And not even that of like, okay, yeah, the affirmation, but as well pulling you in closer to who he is. And so that's where I want to start this morning, is that he loves you, you're affirmed, you're wanted, you're valuable, and you're valued, and now he's calling us into greater intimacy with him. So what does that look like, right? So I think we hear this term a lot, like, okay, we got to get closer to the heart of God, or we want to know who God is more, I want to be more like God. So what does that look like? I think if we want to look at how to do that, we have to look at the enemy of God, right? The thing that separates us from his presence. And that, as we, I hope, would know, is sin, right? So I think we have sometimes this like weird, okay, this is me. I had this weird view of what sin is. It's kind of like this thing that you can't ever escape, and that it's just kind of there. And oops, I sinned again. And it's just kind of like, there, you know? But in reality, sin is, in essence, separation from God. Anything that would separate us from the presence of God constitutes and qualifies as sin. So how do we get more intentional with it? How do we really look at, like, look at being holy as he is holy? And so looking at the Father's love, going back to that, is that he's calling us to be with him, calling us to be somewhere he already is. So it's be holy as I am holy. That's not an unattainable or unreachable place to be, right? Be holy as I am holy. I'm calling you into somewhere I already am and somewhere it's possible for you to be. And the first thing that we have to understand is that God is not a harsh God. He's not a mean God. He doesn't dangle carrots in front of our faces and like, okay, be holy. Oh, nope, you missed it. Be holy again. Try again. And he just kind of like is moving further away. And he's like, keep trying. You're doing great. That's not who our God is. If anything, he's running, right? Like the prodigal son sees him from a long way off, dirty and covered in muck, left everything behind and was like, stuff you, dad, and runs away. The father sees him from a long way off and runs, cleans him with his kisses. That's what it says. The father runs, wraps him in his arm, cleans him with kisses. Bring a clean robe. Bring a new ring and shoes. I want this boy to know that he's mine and that I love him and that I've made it possible for him to be where I already am. Right? Be holy as I am holy, calling you somewhere he already is, because he longs for intimacy with us, with you and with me. Amazing. That is the God that we serve, who is kind and loving, but just in all of his ways, giving us new mercy for every day. It's amazing. It's something that we can access every day. He speaks every day, because he longs to be close with us. And so we want to walk in the light as he is in the light. And like it says in John 1, 5 through 7, that we want to be lovers of light because he is in the light. And so it also says that whatever is in darkness will be exposed and brought into the light, not because he's mean, but because he loves. Who knows that active love, if you're a father who loves actively, is someone who says, hey, the way that you're going is going to hurt you. Because separation from our Father is a lack of protection. It's hurt. It's pain. It's agony. And so actually when God is calling out sin in our lives, it's not because he's mean. It's because he loves. Because if you love someone in truth and you really love them, true love calls out what is wrong and calls out what can bring hurt. And so if we think about things that we love, okay, so like as me, okay, God, how do I love you better? I think about things that I already love, excluding Jesus, okay, like family or hobbies or pets. What sets something apart in our lives is not just something that we like, but something that we love. I don't know if you can think of things already that you love. But usually what sets something apart as something that we love is passion, effort, time, intentionality, pursuit. Those are things that we love. Things that we love, we want to make sure have the first place in our life, you know? And so looking out at how we can love God, we want to look about already where our heart is. This is in Matthew 6:23 that your heart shows where your treasure is. Out of the overflow of your heart is where your life comes, right? So your heart is the wellspring of your life. And that we can choose that. We choose what has the first place of our life. We choose where we put our time and our effort and our intentionality. That's what sets it apart as something that we love and not just something that Mark loves. Because Mark is going to spend his time doing something and I'm going to spend my time doing something based on what I value, based on what is important to me. And so that is something that we look at as like, okay, actually, I have the choice to love God. I have the choice of where I put my time, of where I put my effort. And that is what is an amazing, amazing gift from the Father, is he will never force us into intimacy. He'll always ask, and he'll always invite, and he'll always ask us to ask him in return, to choose to spend time with him, to choose to ask him to come. Okay, I'm going to have to go faster as well. I'm like just taking all the time in the world. And like the Father is, in essence, the Trinity, right? We can all agree that there's the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they're all equally important, and they're all giving of each other, right? The Father makes way for the Holy Spirit to come. The Holy Spirit is revealing Jesus, and Jesus is advocating for the Father, and they're just constantly pointing at one another, right? And this amazing relationship that we've been invited into to partner in, right, with the Trinity. We, as well, are three. We're body, soul, and spirit. And looking at our soul, it's our heart, our mind, our emotions, our personality. And just like our heart is where the wellspring of life is coming out of, what is in our thoughts and what is in our minds is what consumes our life. And in James 1, it says, "Let no one say when he is tempted that I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived in our minds, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." And so temptation is not the same thing as sin. Right? Is that where we can agree? That just because you're tempted by something doesn't mean you've sinned. Just because a thought comes into your mind doesn't mean that you've sinned. It's what you do with that thought of judgment or do with that thought of lust. That's what constitutes for sin, right? Because sin is always a consequence of choice. You will never walk in sin unless you choose it, because I am choosing to walk in it. We can't just fall in it. I think sometimes we live in a fallen world, and so it's around us, and we're in this daily struggle of okay, I have to choose, but it's something that we can choose. And that, for me, when I was learning about this, brings so much freedom. I am not just blindly flailing my arms and hoping for the best. I can actually stand upright and choose which way I'm going to walk. And so, like, just in this little diaphragm, it says we have temptation, comes into a thought. Thought turns to attitude, which becomes an action, which becomes our habits, which becomes our character, which becomes our destiny. And so that's what I felt to focus on this morning-ish was thought life and how to overcome in thought life. How do we walk in purity in our thought life? Because from that, right, we're going back to this thing of active love. I want to love the Father like the Father loves me, and this is where it starts, is purifying our hearts, purifying our lives. And so in Ephesians 4, 17 through 32, it says, "Gentiles," or people who don't walk with Christ, "are walking in a futility of mind." And so in verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in the futility, in the pointlessness, in mind, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God. Because of the ignorance that is in them, and because of the blindness of their heart, they have been past their past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned from Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness." And I want to really focus on that specific verse, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And I think we all know, like Romans 12, that we were transformed by the renewing of our minds. And further on in 1 Peter, it talks about our minds as well and standing, resisting against the enemy. Because it says the enemy roars around like a lion. Like a lion. He is not the lion. We serve the lion. But he roams around roaring like a lion to intimidate, to tempt, to bring some kind of like smoke and mirrors, like, you'll never really finally get it. That's condemnation. And we all know, right? I hope we know that there is no condemnation in those who love Christ. And I think we have a slide for that as well. I'm going to find this. We're going to be real specific. The difference between conviction and condemnation. Because I think for me in my life, the biggest way that the enemy would get me is condemnation. This like heavy feeling of yucky worthlessness of like, well, I'm just a sinner and I've already failed before I've begun, so why should I even try? That's condemnation in our lives, right? It comes from Satan. It kind of generalizes and labels things, makes you feel low and horrible and heavy and yucky, and brings hopelessness. Conviction that comes from God is very specific. Usually brings up a specific moment, or like it brings in even a memory or a specific thing like, oh, actually, I know that's not true. It recognizes hurt and pain to affirm, yes, that was an injustice and you've been hurt, but there's hope, which ultimately leads to God, right? And so the character that I was talking about, how it begins in our thought life and it ultimately leads to character, our character is what in the end produces hope. And I think that's in James as well, where it talks about perseverance produces patience, and patience has its perfect work in us, and that it produces hope. And so me and my journey in my life has been learning to love conviction, learning to love boundaries from God, learning to love the leadership of the Holy Spirit and of Jesus in my life, and allowing him to turn on the light in every room, so that I'm not walking in darkness, not allowing the enemy to have one foothold of bringing condemnation or bringing some idea that I've been separated from grace. And I'm asking God to come and to turn on the light. And to, that, I think, is a part of walking in the Spirit, right? The fruits of the Spirit, of walking in love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control. Taking control and being like, actually, no, I want my life to be a life of holiness. I want my life to be a life of purity where I'm walking in step with the Father. So how do we do it? How do we have a greater hatred of sin and a greater love of the Father? How do we have a greater fear of the Lord in our life? How do we come against every trial that will come? I think the first thing that we do is we ask for it. I didn't even have a slide for this as well. We ask for God to come. We ask for Jesus to expose things in our hearts, expose things in our minds. Expose things like, I have this list as well, comparison, unbelief, negative self-image, judging, lust, sexual fantasy, emotional fantasy, selfishness, pride, inferior and superior and false humility. Anger, hate, bitterness, apathy, making excuses and blame shifting, judgment, jealousy, negativity, self-pity, and self-exaltation. These are all things that are from the enemy and produce death in our lives. And I think in one way or another, it's something that we can all relate to, right? Like, oh man, yeah, I do struggle with judgment, or I do struggle with negative self-image, or I do struggle with, 1 second I'm thinking about accounting, and the next minute I'm like, 10 years down the road with a picket fence and like a little family that doesn't exist, right? And like gone in my mind and not taking every thought captive. That's actually, not allowing God to have his perfect work in us. Does that make sense? Because we're not living where he's called us to be in this exact moment. And what I love about God talking about the active love of the Father is that he is asking us to get tenacious with passivity. Tenacious with allowing something else to be leading our lives. Because whatever leads our lives is ultimately the God of our life. Whatever controls my thoughts, whatever I allow my heart to ponder on, whether it is lust or sexual fantasies or emotional fantasies or selfishness, thinking about myself, whatever I allow to plague my mind is ultimately what I'm bowing down to. That's the thing that has control over me. And so taking authority that Jesus has given us and saying, actually, no, I'm not allowing my thoughts to go there. No, I'm not going to be passive with my time or with where I allow my mind to be, but I want to have a holiness and a righteousness in my heart and in my mind. And that's part of the fruits of the Spirit, right? Like I just said, self-control. And so how do we get freedom in our thought life? Fight for freedom in your thought life. What we reap, we will sow. And so we can repent of the thinking, right? We need to include people with us and ask God for the renewing of our mind, like it says in Romans 12, and asking for a hatred of the sin. And then I think the next thing is what's amazing as I was doing this study is that every time it talks about sin or renewing our minds, almost every time the next verse refers to getting connected with God and getting connected to others. And actually the reality is if we want to walk in holiness in our lives, we have to have other people. We have to involve community and people who are close with us to stay in openness and brokenness with each other. And then the final thing after that, after we're staying accountable and open, is choosing where we're going to put our thoughts. Like in Philippians 4, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about those things. And so taking the time in our life, like, oh, actually that thought of judgment just came in my mind, saying no, and like kind of like, usually I do something to like move, you know, okay, no, I'm not going to allow my thoughts to go there. That's a temptation in my mind, but I'm going to think about something else. I'm going to think about what is praiseworthy and has honorable conduct, right? And ultimately that is what brings us closer to the heart of the Father, of the active love of the Father, is walking in holiness with him and allowing patience, allowing perseverance to have its perfect work in us, to grow us in confidence, to grow us in character, and to allow us to be in that place where he is holy as he is holy. And I think that's something that I really want to make sure that is communicated, that it's possible, that he hasn't asked us to do something that is unobtainable or something to trick us or something to manipulate us or try to like be puppets to get us to kind of dance around. But his heart as a father is to be near us and to be known by us as we are known by him. I think it's an invitation for an invitation, right? He's asking us to invite him. If our house, if our world, if our hearts were a house or a mansion, you know, like you've heard, like, he's knocking on the door of your heart. All you have to do is open for him. He's actually knocking on every door of your house and asking, can I walk in and turn on the light? Let's sweep the floor clean because my heart is to bring hope. My heart is to bring healing. He's after the healing of our hearts, not the hurting of them. He's not here to bring condemnation and to bring heaviness. He's actually to bring freedom. It was for freedom that Christ set us free. Are we walking in the fullness of freedom this morning with our Father? And I'm trusting that this morning that God is stirring your hearts and that he's bringing things up into your mind like, oh, yeah, I do struggle with that. Or, yeah, I do allow those thoughts to come in and then I dwell on them. And that's what I'm trusting for this morning is that God is stirring in your hearts. This is definitely not a topic that I felt like, oh, yeah, this is great. I can't wait to speak on this. Or even had a lot of experience talking on. But consistently was something that I felt God was bringing up in my mind. Was how do we, as active lovers of God, get tenacious with the spirit of passivity that keeps us bound, that keeps us standing and trying to stay in the same place, which ultimately means we're moving backwards, and keeps us bound to the old ways, right? You say, put off the old man, ask God to bring in the new one. That's what it says as well in Ephesians, that we've put off the old man. And now we're asking God to bring in the new one, a renewing of our minds to transform us to be more like him. And so what I've noticed as well, especially living in my new area, or kind of, this is kind of maybe kind of weird, but spiritual atmospheres, right? So where I live, it's very, what's the word, defensive. You often feel like you're on edge. You're like, okay, I got to defend and like, got to watch out for pickpockets or for, you know, people trying to do weird things or whatever. And you're constantly like feeling defensive. That even in our community, right, we started noticing people getting defensive and people being on edge and I'm constantly scowling and being moody like this. And that was something that we as a community need to be aware of and repent of. Oh, Jesus, I am so sorry that I allowed something other than your spirit to lead me and get defensive with my community, with my family. These are people that I see every single day. And all of a sudden, like, no, you can't share that. It's mine. And I'm being defensive and I'm getting a little bit, like, uptight. That was something I needed to repent of. Oh, Jesus, I am so sorry that I would think that I was better than them or that I somehow needed to put up walls against other people. That was on me. I had revelation. God gave me a clear understanding, a conviction in my spirit that I was coming under the spirit of the area that I was in, of being defensive and being hard-hearted towards people. That's something that I was coming under and not allowing myself to come under the lordship of Christ. Something that I often notice being in this wonderful, wonderful, amazing, beautiful place is that I can often feel sluggish or passive with my walk with God. Oh yeah, I'll have my quiet time later. Or yes, I'll have my prayer time tomorrow morning instead. And that's okay, you know, like if we're in a season of rest and there's no, there, that's religion to say that you have to have it every single morning and you have to do it this time to this time. That is not of God. But what I notice myself is that I have to come against this mentality of passivity and of apathy. And it's like, oh, you know what? It's fine. Whatever happens, happens. And I kind of become like this like limp noodle. That's something that I need to war against in my spirit. And so even the other morning, I was like, okay, I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have my prayer time and I'm pacing in my bedroom. And then my nephew comes in and is like, what are you doing, Aunt B? And I'm like, I'm doing warfare. And I'm just pacing and getting into it. That is something for me that I have to do in order to keep my spiritual relationship and walk with God cultivated. I have to get my body moving and say, no, actually, I am walking in self-control of my spirit, of my mind, and of my body, and I will serve the Lord today. And I will invite him into my thought life. I will invite him into my choices, and he will be the Lord of my life because I choose it actively, willfully, and I want it. Because the more that I have walked with God and allowed him to be the Lord and put me in uncomfortable places full of risk and uncertainty and unknowns, and Bethany does not like this, but yes, Lord, the more I have put myself in that position, allowed him to put me in that position, the more I have loved his sweet guidance and conviction. I'm like, Bethany, you're being ridiculous. You need to repent. Yes, Lord. Even that, you know, if he's asked me to wake up early to pray, I'm like, I just don't really want to, and I don't do it, you know, and then like a few hours later, the Lord's like, hey, Bethany, remember that time that we were supposed to have that little date earlier this morning, and you didn't come because your sleep was more important? Yes, Lord, I do remember that. It's like, yeah, it's not very good, and now that I have been walking in disobedience, right, not disobedience, let's call it this. Disobedience is walking, not walking in all revealed truth. So at that moment, my revealed truth was, hey, Bethany, I would like you to wake up in the morning and to pray. I think at that time I was praying for one of the ministries I was a part of. I would like you to wake up and pray for the ministry. I knew God asked me to do that. And I was like, yeah, of course, Lord, see you in the morning. And then Bethany slept in. That was me walking in disobedience, not walking in the revealed truth. And that caused a separation between me and my Father. And to build that bridge again requires me to choose, because he's already there and he's ready. Sorry, Lord, I missed it. Will you forgive me? He's like, yeah, of course I will. But it's me acknowledging that I missed it. Me acknowledging that there's something in the way between me and the Father. Even a lot of times, a few years ago, I really struggled with self-image and with even comparison in my mind. Like, oh, she's prettier than me. Or like, oh, she's more talented, so they're going to want her to lead worship and not me. And that was something that was like real in my mind, that I'd be like, oh, you know, like I would be plagued by these things and they would control me. They control me and they keep me separated from my friends because she's too pretty to be my friend, or I'm not good enough to be their friend, right? That keeps me separate from people around me. And I'm believing a lie that my Father did not speak over me. That was something that I needed to acknowledge. I needed to share with someone, hey, I struggle with this. And I needed to ask God forgiveness. I am sorry for not seeing myself the way that you see me. Because his way goes, not mine. So it doesn't matter. I mean, like, in the end, it doesn't really matter if I think that I'm down here. I need to ask God for revelation of the truth of where he sees me and who he sees me to be and who he's calling me to be. And that was the thing that I wanted to share with you guys this morning, is getting tenacious with passivity, getting tenacious with sin, because we are people who serve the Lord, because we are people who love the Lord and love his way and want to walk in it more. And that involves asking, seeking, knocking, right? Asking God for a hatred of it. And then when the temptation comes, not standing with it, rebuking it. And if we miss it, we miss it. We get humble. We ask God for forgiveness. I'm a big fan of getting someone with you and say, hey, I had a friend one time. This is amazing. She taught me so much. We were sleeping in the same room, as you do, and I was about to go to sleep, and she's like, "Bethany, I need you to wake up." I was like, "Okay, yeah, what's going on?" I just had a thought of lust that I like thought about, and I need to ask your forgiveness because I sinned, and you're here, and I sinned when you were here, and I'm sorry, because a sin against God is a sin against you, because we're all here together. I was like, "Okay, yeah, of course." I would not have ever thought of that. Keep it hidden in the darkness. Like, if I have a thought that's inappropriate, keep it hidden. And that actually brings a foothold, but she's like, "I don't want any foothold of the devil or in my life, of the enemy in my life, so I'm sorry for allowing that to happen in my mind." Yeah, I forgive you. That's a very normal thing. If we sin, we ask for forgiveness. If we miss it, we ask for forgiveness from one another and from God. And that taught me a lot of like, oh, actually, that's really important. Confess your sins to one another. Be in community. Be open and vulnerable. Give no place for the enemy to bring condemnation. And so this morning, I don't know, does the worship team come up? Yeah. Okay, I don't know if you guys can just come up and start just, I don't know, having some, we'll have some ministry time. But if God has been stirring things in your heart, even if that list that I shared before of challenges in our mind, I don't know if you can go back to that, Jackson, where it talks about the different ways that we can sin in our minds and bring, right, the thought is what ultimately leads to our destiny. If we allow temptation to become an action and to walk in sin, and that brings, brings sin. If things are coming up in your heart or in your mind, maybe we can just take a moment before the Lord and ask Him even to show us if there's things that we need to make right. And what I would love to do this morning is, if there's someone that's close to you that you know that you feel comfortable praying out with, if we could just actually pray that out. Of like, oh yeah, God, I do struggle with this in my mind, or I have seen this habit in my life, and I want to get a hatred for it. Or even if you need to do repentance, then if we can do that together, to bring in the openness and the transparency, because that is ultimately what leads to freedom. Is that there's no place for the enemy to come, because in the end, you guys, what consumes our thoughts consumes our lives, and it's always a matter of the heart. If our heart is humble and our heart is willing, our heart is ready, and we're asking God to come and to teach us and to speak to us and to bring revelation, He will. So the battle is won or lost, first in our hearts, in our thoughts. And He is faithful and just to complete the work that He started in us. So if we can just take a moment to invite God, I'll just pray and invite Him to come and to speak to us. If there are things that we need to make right, if there are things that even that He wants to reveal further into our hearts, that we can ask Him to come. And as God is speaking to you, if you can, get with someone that you know and pray it out. Vocally is really important, I think, to confess and to get it out in the open. And then we can just pray for one another and ask God to come.